1 Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." It may not be the most pivotal part of the Sunday school lesson today, but it spoke most pointedly to me and to my life and to my needs. I don't like being subject to another. Now, if you want to be subject to me, that's not as bothersome. I'm doing several things at once. I'm not very good at multitasking these days, but this week I'm listening to an audiobook called The Making of Martin Luther. And I'm reading and I'm thinking about some other things. But in this audiobook, there are remarkable and laudable achievements to point out in Luther's career. His translation of the New Testament into German was a careful and a beautiful linguistic work. His justification by faith alone doctrine calms the anxious Christian's conscience, especially where maybe complex penance rituals might not quite reach. He points out that trying to earn grace with good works is disgusting to God, and that we may accept or reject, but we cannot ever deserve God's grace. And he wrote, "It would be ridiculous to write rules for a tree describing how it should bear fruit. Fruit trees just do that naturally. And so it is with true Christians." Luther founded a new church and inspired many others by wholesale rejection of medieval Roman Catholicism. The Pope he labeled the Antichrist. Scripture alone was his mandate. But it turned out no one but Luther himself could properly interpret Scripture. His imprecations against anyone who dared disagree with him were harsh and seemed more concerned with Luther's ego than about Scripture alone. Richard Reck's book on Luther serves in part as a cautionary tale to me. I do want to be a good example and not a horrible warning. I need your guidance, even if I don't enjoy it. It is part of human nature to have blind spots and egotistical errors. We all need correction. We need other points of view. Last Monday evening, I took in the first Perspectives on the World Christian Movement class. It was free. It was a journey at Yoder, journey at South Hutch, rather. And I listened to John Willis Zumwalt, age 52, as he gave a two-part presentation called "The Living God is a Missionary God." I took some notes. Of pastoring large churches, he says, that's a ranching mindset. God calls us to develop shepherding skills, more small scale. And he said the number one qualification for being a good missionary, love being with people. The Bible, he asserts, from Genesis to Revelations, is about not just Israel, but about all nations coming to him. God says, go often and stay not so much. In fact, he says 2/3 of God's name has go in it. He described his dad, who is a Marine drill instructor. He said, this is an odd subhuman species. He said when he was born, he had a thick mop of hair from day one, and as far as he knows, he's the only baby who got a buzz cut the day he was born. But he said he had a disciplined and orderly childhood. After the Marines, his father became a missionary to the indigenous headhunter tribes in the jungles of Taiwan, and that's where John grew up. When it was time, he studied at Nazarene College in Nampa, Idaho. And he chose a major as far away from the Marines as possible, fine arts, pottery and painting. He grew a long ponytail, which he showed us, for his dad, and an even longer beard, which he had braided Monday night for his wife. And he said, if any of you are thinking about joining the Marines, don't. His father, he says, has learned to be okay with his hippie ways. The parents live nearby in a retirement community, which he described as a cruise ship that never goes anywhere. He and his wife live in Choctaw, Oklahoma, and they run a mission coffee shop, which they've named Joe's Addiction. It's in the red light district of Oklahoma City between the landfill and the sewage plant. He says that people who live around there are ex-cons and addicts and registered sex offenders. And he says gang members are infinitely more unpredictable than headhunters. His presentation seemed to me to be a little over-caffeinated. Some of you were there. I think there might have been 75 people, and maybe half of the attendees were from Center or Cedar Crest. It was kind of a stand-up comedian, and when yet another of his pop culture jokes fell flat, he said, I'm partly here for your entertainment, but mostly for my own. Some of the points he made that were, I think, valuable are, for many people, the Bible is like a jigsaw puzzle in a plastic bag at a garage sale. There's no box, there's no illustration, there's no instructions. And he said, what we try to do is show where the edge pieces are and to describe the big picture. He described the parables of Jesus as windows into the kingdom of God. I read in his book, The Passion for the Heart of God, he said, we are called to proclaim God's great salvation and rescue captives. But in America, we don't hear God's call because we are too busy spending the billions of dollars we have to spend on ourselves and on our cats. He quoted his wife, Jamie, as saying, the secret to Christianity is not asking Jesus into your heart. It is Jesus asking us into his heart. And he also said, we need to be people of repentance. True repentance makes you humble. Not one time and done, but repentance as a way of life. So, the book I'm actually reading is Bringing Jesus to the Desert by Bradley Nassif. And I'm reading about Anthony of Egypt, or Anthony the Great, as some people call him. He was born in 251 and died in 356 AD, and he lived in southern Egypt. When he was 20 years old, his parents died and left him a moderate amount of wealth. He describes his youth as this way. He'd go to church and he would listen, and he took the advice he heard in the sermons very seriously. And when the story was about the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and Jesus told him, sell what you have, give to the poor, and come follow me, he literally did that. And he spent most of the rest of his life as a hermit. He moved into a rocky tomb a few miles outside of that little town and spent that time there resisting the devil and praying and learning to put on the mind of Christ. He was tempted by lust and harassed by demons, he said. And this is the part I want to point out. Anthony described the weapon needed to win the battle. He says, I saw the snares that the enemy spreads out over the world, and I groaned to myself, saying, what can get me through such snares? Then I heard a voice saying to me, humility. So So those are the three little vignettes I have for you, and I hope that they illuminate a little bit the lesson we have today before us. So let's at this time all stand for prayer. Father, all eyes look to you for sustenance and grace. May we learn from you how to arrange our priorities, how to care for each other, and for all of your creation. May we learn true wisdom, and may we be clothed with humility. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. You may be seated.